Hello and welcome to Minecraft Lab, where we explore, experiment, and theorize about all things Minecraft. We're live again today with the Troj and myself.
Yes.
And myself, Minor Thoughts. Today we've got quite a bit controversial subject. Well, maybe when it just comes to the Troj and I. Maybe it's controversial.
Look, Minor, everyone has the right to have an opinion, and you have the right to be wrong, and I respect your right to be wrong.
Oh, nice. nice. But real quickly, if anybody's wondering about the snapshots or the updates that are coming out for 1.19, we're really not going to go into that because they are still working on it, and we know it's controversial for a lot of people, and everybody has their own opinions. But one thing I think that needs to stop as far as that whole controversy is hounding the Mojang employees. I've seen a lot of that all over the socials. That really, in my opinion, needs to stop.
Yeah, look, I think that's completely unacceptable. The only thing I want to say on it, and a couple of people in my previous streams, live streams, have bought, like, touched on it, and it's like, well, I'm not touching that conversation with a 10-foot pole, because it is right. So controversial, and there's no gray here. Like, you're either one side or the other with it, it seems. But that you are right. The one thing that has got to stop is the community going after the developers. We said when we did our review, when I think it was the last one, the last live recording that we did, when we went over 119 mm-hmm. in total, you know, the amount of backlash and pushback that the community was from certain vocal minorities, let's just say that, vocal minorities that were pushing back onto the developers then, you know, you saw some of the developers, they announced that they were moving on to other companies and getting away from it, you know, and then you noticed as well, on top of this, you know, we can see probably they're going to start closing ranks a lot more. Now, I understand this is a controversial topic and people feel like they got their freedoms taken away and all that hoo-ha.
Right.
But, you know, the only thing I want to say is really there is probably a legality reason that they need to implement something into the Java multiplier. It's not something they've probably just woken up one day and gone, hey, this is probably a good idea. Companies have a duty of care that if they've got a way that things can be done that can't be monitored or easily kept in check, there are legalities involved around that. And it will be all around that. No one's trying to take your freedoms away. It's just that's reality of life that we live in at the moment. You know, and I don't want to get into my thoughts on it. Like, I'm not going to. But people just need to be aware is, A, lay off the developers with the personal attacks that they're getting, and B, there's probably legalities and legal reasons why they need to be doing something like this. So let's just have some common sense for a minute.
Right. So that's really all we're going to discuss on that subject until, you know, it gets all resolved. There's we've seen 1.19.1 come and .2, and we'll probably see more as things go on. But today we're going to talk about bugs and glitches. Not the Dracolus glitches, just the ones we've seen throughout the years in Minecraft. And then maybe if we have time, we'll get into things that we'd like to see added to vanilla Minecraft.
Sweeney just made a comment here about what we were just saying. Most people state that it's Microsoft enforcing this specific change more so than Mojang. Also, watching the last Minecraft Secrets episode, there is a creative outcry from the episode that one can read more into. How close this is to true. Yeah, I've seen that. I've heard that. I've also seen statements from other people saying, oh, it's a Mojang-driven thing. And this is why we don't want to get into it, to be honest. Because you don't know the truth. No one knows the truth. No one knows the specifics of it. Other than the only thing that I'm prepared to publicly say is lay off the developers. It's like, you don't need to personally attack them about stuff, anything at all. And two is there's probably legalities involved dictate that a company such as Mojang with a game like Minecraft have to address. That's pretty much where we're going to leave that topic. Bugs and glitches.
They're kind of synonymous. let's start with this. Let's start out with the lighthearted one. I knew about, but I don't know everybody knows about, the Creeper. Does everybody know that that was a bug?
Well, let's just... Who all knows? Yes, I knew this one. Let's open it up to chat really quickly. Does anyone know how the Creeper came to be into Minecraft? That's actually... It wasn't interesting. When I think I learned that about 6 months ago. And yeah. Doylan said yes. Well, everyone knows it, minus. He may as well spill it. Enzyme. There we go. He spilled it.
See, I just learned this... maybe about the same time as you, but I mean it. I mean, just simple things like that. Bugs and glitches sometimes become features.
Yeah.
And I love creepers. I mean, they're used for so many things, so I'm glad they kept that in.
You like creepers because they provide you with boom boom powder.
Boom booms.
Boom boom yes. powder. Yeah.
Quasi connectivity. Yep, we'll get into that one. How do you want to handle this? Do you want to get into the heavy bugs and glitches or one glitch? Okay, let's just start off with this. This is an easy one. An annoying bug, which they keep saying they're fixing, but I find it update after update after update, is the boat glitch. Trying to get out of a boat. I don't understand why. I'm sure it's on the bug tracker many, many, many times. And I thought they had it fixed, but it is still, to this day, I have problems getting out of boats.
Occasionally, I still get it, yeah. And it seems to be more often when you're still moving and you go to get out as the boat is still moving, you'll get into that booba, 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 booba thing.
That makes sense.
Yeah, and yeah, it's annoying. It's very annoying, particularly when you're in hardcore. It happened to me a couple of weeks ago, or last week, when I was doing hardcore live stream on DTG Family Gaming. Night was falling. I'm trying to get into a bed, and I can't because I'm stuck on the shore trying to get in and out of this boat. And it's one I would like to see fixed. But let's just back up again for a minute. Aaron's asked, what is that?
Connectivity?
Yes.
Okay, let's go over that one next.
And I'm going to leave that one up to you because you're the redstone man. And
quasi-connectivity is something you only see in Java Minecraft. It doesn't work the same way in Bedrock. I forget what the other one's called because I don't play it really. But quasi-connectivity is really, it will power adjacent blocks. I don't know the best way to describe this. Maybe someone in chat could help us out. I know I was watching a video by Skip the Tutorial, and he was explaining it. Basically, if you have a bunch of pistons together, and you put like three pistons in a row, and you put a redstone block, it's going to power all of them. It'll power adjacent blocks.
Which was yes. a not but intended better feature. Not connect. But, you know, right. I saw that same video, and Skip the Tutorial actually made a really interesting statement at that part about quasi-connectivity, and he has said that it was unintentional, and hang on a sec. Oh, yeah, so it's an unintentional glitch, right? And it's an unintentional glitch, and it can be proved, and I'm paraphrasing here, it can be proved that it's an unintentional glitch because it appears in Java, not Bedrock. Now, I want to pin that comment.
Right.
Yeah. So he claimed that it was, yes, I just want to ram this point home right now because it was an unintended feature that you can prove is a glitch because it's in Java, not Bedrock. Sorry.
And see, that's why I'm just going to touch on this. A lot of your technical Minecrafters and many of the things we will talk about today affect the technical Minecraft community. And that's why they play Java versus Bedrock, because Redstone is slightly different. They exploit certain things on Java, things that were left in.
So that actually is a nice little segue into a topic I would like to sort of touch on with this is, at what point is it exploiting the game or exploiting an exploit to having it be a feature? Like, where's the line there?
I think from what I've seen is when it turns into something to where, you know, you have infinite or it seems overpowered in a way. But that's still not true, because there are things that seem overpowered that you can exploit. I don't know. We'll get into more. Like, one thing that I saw that I used, I was guilty of using it, that was patched out. The community found that you could zero tick certain things, and you could get growth of sugarcane and bamboo faster by using a falling sand glitch.
Zero tick farms.
It's called zero tick farms. So that was patched out. You know, Mojang saw that that was just something that was a little too much, a little too overpowered.
Aaron just said stairs at most resource farms, to me anyway. Are you saying that all resource farms are? Because that'd be an interesting point of view. And that's actually an interesting, because assuming that I'm reading and understanding what he's meaning there, because it is actually possible to play Minecraft and not mine. Like, right. You look at my hardcore world that I'm doing on Twitch here on live streams. I don't intend to go mining for quite some time, and by the time I go mining, I'll be in diamond gear. I'll be enchanted diamond gear, and I don't need to go underground once. So is that exploiting things like the villages? I don't know whether it is, because I'm using intended features. Aaron's clarified somewhat, but it feels like an exploit of an exploit rather than exploiting a glitch. So maybe I would phrase it exploiting a feature instead of a glitch.
Right. Yeah. See, that's where it's really a gray area. Because you have two sides. You have a technical community, and then you have, I'm just going to call them more, you know, vanilla players. You know, they just want a pure game. Feel that, you know, those things may seem cheaty. Let's get into, I mean, unless chat has one that they want to discuss. The quasi connectivity was really good.
I think that there's a topic, there's probably a different line that we can probably split here. Are things overpowered? I think villages are highly overpowered, and they're always my starting strategy. I will go for a village and set up a villager trading hall because it'll give me most things that I need. Are villages overpowered? Yes. Are iron farms overpowered? Are other farms overpowered? At what point do they become, do you exploit a usable feature? Don't know. It's a good point. It's a good question. Are they game breaking? I would actually argue that the way the villages are at the moment does actually break Minecraft, because the idea is to mine craft, and villages take a lot of that out of it. So I would argue they probably need a rework. Then you got the iron farm. The other question there is that actually ethical? Because you are designing a farm to give birth to a sentient creature only to go straight to its death. We all do it. But when you think about it, it's like, really? You know? It's not sort of the glitch conversation or that line that we were going on tonight, but maybe, and I know Sweeney, if Sweeney's still around, you know, that's something that he's big on, is like ethical farms, like sheep farms, not having a sheep in each individual container to generate its thing, you know, have free roaming, free range sheep. And he's designed a farm there that can do that and puts out just as much as a normal farm, which is, so probably a conversation, maybe in a topic for a future podcast, maybe. That's not a glitch as such, that's exploiting an overpowered mechanic, I guess.
A lot of it's to do with redstone. And again, there's also the two sides of Java and Bedrock. People on Bedrock that want parity, they want some of the things like quasi connectivity in Bedrock. On the same note, Bedrock has movable tile entities. And if you don't know what that is, it's basically you can attach a sticky piston to a chest or a hopper or something that has items in it and move it. You can't do that in Java. Would parity be a good thing, or should you just keep Java the way it is and Bedrock the way it is as far as redstone goes? Because when you're building a farm in either platform, you've got to use different mechanics, because spawning mechanics are different. So,
well, that's the question, is can actually redstone feet function the same way between the two ways the games are coded? Like, I know on the surface it's the same game, but underneath it's definitely not. Can it function the same way? I don't know. I'm not a game developer. I can't answer that. I like doing that in these podcasts, asking questions I can't answer.
Yeah.
Rees just said here, putting your ethical feelings to a game is human, as well as being human not to care. Meh, just choose and let others be. and that's a great concept as well. And it all comes back to the end of the day. And I have a feeling this is where we're going to end up at the very end of this discussion. Play Minecraft how you want to play Minecraft. There's no right way. Sorry, I got a bug. There's no right way. There's no wrong way. It is Minecraft. So play it as you see fit. But yeah, it can be good, though, to have the conversations like we're having here about like deep diving some of these things and going...
Let's get into a slightly heavier bug, glitch, whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
Because
is this
one
I need to get prepared for? Is this the
one? No, maybe not. Maybe not.
I'll relax.
duping. Ooh. Now there are things that I feel, this is my personal opinion, things that I feel that shouldn't be duped. Rails, carpet, sand and concrete into the end. Things like that, to where you're getting a lot of resources that way. It's very, very low effort type thing. Now, if you look up here, I'm trying to point to TNT, my favorite thing, TNT duping. However, I think for what you're trying to accomplish with TNT, especially if you're trying to do a perimeter or excavate a large area, TNT duping, in my opinion, there's more effort involved because you have to build the flying machines or the dupers. If you don't do it properly, it'll blow up. So there's more involved, especially if you're doing a huge, huge perimeter, which one day I want to do on Interrealms. I want to take a large piece of land and just demolish it. I planned on doing it in season 2, but just ran out of time. So I want to know the duplication glitch, how people feel about duplication.
Now, let me ask you, Miner. I don't have a strong feeling on the TNT thing really either way. I know there's ones like Tango and Impulse do. They do not do it at all. Like right. They're dead against it. They think it should not be in the game. And I understand that point of view. How do you justify, Miner, this is purely for you, how do you justify allowing one form of duplication over another form of duplication without saying, oh, because it's just harder to get TNT, therefore it's okay to duplicate? Take that argument off the table. How do you, because at the end of the day, duplication is duplication. How do you justify being TNT's all good to duplicating diamonds being all bad?
Duplication of rails or sand or concrete, you're taking like a stack and then doubling it. With TNT duplication, you're taking one piece of TNT and I guess that's the same thing. So I guess I have no argument. I don't know. I mean you're taking, if you're duplicating rails, you're taking one rail and making many rails. So
you're taking one TNT and making many TNT. Now, this is, and the reason I ask that is because this sort of shows, going back to what Ree said, you do things either way. And a personal thing where you have that line in the sand, I can understand why people like Impulse and Tango Tech say it shouldn't be in the game. I completely understand that. And if I had to fall on a side, if I had to pick a side, I would probably fall on their side. Have I used TNT duplication? Yes. Will I continue to use it? Yes. Why? Because I'm lazy. Oh, well, and on the Interrealm server, I refuse to pay Cubsy's prices for gunpowder. It's hard to justify it, really, isn't it? What's right and what's wrong when it comes to duplication?
Right. From the technical community, I mean, if they patch that out, I think, I mean, it was kind of like the same thing with the no blocks, you know, how they wanted a change that only wool could silence note blocks. The technical community spoke up and asked for it to be reverted, and they listened. So I think with certain bugs, glitches, whatnot, Mojang tries to listen to the community, all sides, technical, you know, and maybe the more pure vanilla players, and find a balance. You know, you can't please everybody, but if they feel that it's unbalanced, then yeah, they'll patch it out. But if it's something that they can justify, they'll leave it in.
I think so. And, you know, you see how many people fired up about the removal on Bedrock of the XP glitch. You know, imagine if they took out TNT duplication.
Right,
talk about boom boom power. That would go off.
The... Yeah, I mean, there's another one right there that I felt strongly against. And I don't play Bedrock. I don't really play Bedrock. I mean, there are ways to get XP. And the furnace XP glitch on Bedrock was, in my opinion, way too overpowered.
So we bring Enzyme in.
Yeah, great.
Yes, all right, Enzyme, jump on into the community group voice chat.
Well, you were talking about the redstone and the duping, and you saying that it silver lined, saying that, oh, no, and yes. Well, I'm someone that used to play, was brought up on console and all that stuff until I converted to Java Superior, joking.
Let's not open console that.
Yeah, that's a different one. Console, mainly Bedrock, has always had bugs, and especially duping bugs, which I've been someone that, well, a lot of my friends like to say, oh, well, they like to think I'm an unethical player, because when it comes to duping, I like to dupe for the grindy type of stuff. It depends when it comes to what type of duper you are. Like, if you're the duper that my friend basically is, oh, just dupe the diamonds, dupe the diamonds, dupe the diamonds, and all that stuff. The point that I consider as allowed for duping is not duping the destination, but duping the journey. So, for example, dupe a bunch of iron shovels to dig out the sand to make concrete. Actually, dupe the concrete to eat and the gravel to make a, well, concrete powder, to be exact. But a lot of people, when it comes to duping, they just see, oh, the full marks are 100%, go straight for the gold and all that stuff. But if you're the type of duper that goes for like the middle ground type of level, I don't see duping as a problem. And a lot of people would be like, oh, well, that's just being lazy then. At that same time, I'm, oh, being lazy, yeah, but so are a bunch of the farms. What's the difference between duping the iron shovels and trading them with a villager?
Well, I guess for me, my take on that was, if you're going to go and buy iron shovels from a villager, you've had to do prep work to get there. So you've gone and you've got the villager, and you've maybe converted them, I don't know. But you've found a village, you've made the crafting, the workbench, you put the workbench there, you converted him, you traded him up to shovels, gone and done the hard work to go and get enough resources to be able to keep trading for emeralds. You've gone through the process to get that. You're talking about iron farms, to me, as I said in the start, are overpowered for what they can do. But again, you've gone to the hard work of building an iron farm to be able to generate it. So there's a difference I personally have between a farm and duping. Yes, you're probably right at the same point, but arguably I've gone to the way the game's intended to be played to get the stuff, as opposed to just duping an iron shovel. Minor, what do you think?
Kind of the effort involved. From what I've seen, that things that have been patched out or fixed, if there's very, very little effort involved in getting those resources, then yeah, that's an exploit. That's something that may get eventually patched out. Mojang might see that that's just not in the spirit of the game. So they will, with the things like iron farms, things that you have to put in some effort to get those resources, curing villagers, trading them up, getting the emeralds, those things will stay in. Yeah, it might be a bug or a glitch, but if it takes some effort to do that, I've seen those things stay in.
Which is understandable. Which I can also acknowledge that, because I don't dupe a lot of the time nowadays, especially since I've converted over to Java, because, well, I don't know any. When it comes to, like, the grind that people like to say is that's what makes the difference and all that stuff, then that comes to the point where, okay, what about for the lazy players that thinks that, and like you said, Troj, oh, it's because some people play the actual way or that stuff. I'd like to bring to that topic that I don't think anyone actually plays the actual way. And when I say the actual way, I mean the way that Mojang intended it to be played by their books, where step one is you build up a dirt pillar.
Yeah, that's a really good point too. Like, we all re-beat me to it. It's back to the humanity part. People are choosing where it's okay to dupe based on their feelings. And that's where I think ultimately this whole conversation tonight is going to end up. It's where you as an individual draw the line. And Enzyme made a good point there, is like no one is probably playing the game as is intended, so to speak. Like, I'm sure no one intended when they invented iron golems and when they died to drop iron, someone's going to go, hey, we're going to harvest these poor creatures and harvest their, get them to drop their bits, and then we're going to profit from it. That probably wasn't even thought of at the time, you know. So by having iron farms, we're probably not playing to that either. But I think there's a point that you take it too far, like the X-ray mod as an example, right?
Yeah, that is too far, I have
to say. That is too far. And some of the stuff that Doc M does, I enjoy his, I wish he'd edit down his content to be smaller.
They're over like an hour. It's like watching a stream.
But what he does is brilliant. But some stuff he does, I sit there and go, but you're not in the, there's a terminology in sport called in the spirit of the game. And some of the stuff that he does is not in the spirit of the game. Duping diamonds, especially when you're on a server that uses currency as diamonds, duping it, that's not in the spirit of the game. But again, it's a subjective thing, isn't it? Where do you draw the line of what is acceptable under the spirit of the game and what's not? And again, as Ree has said, and where
it comes down to the feelings.
It comes down to your personal feelings. And I'll just read something Swirl said. Now, I haven't pre-read what Swirl said. I'm just going to dive into it, so heaven help me. I think the difference is there are clear in-game built-in mechanics that can be exploited. Example, iron farms, ocean monument, guardian farms, mob farms that are intended to be used as compared to glitches, like breaking bedrock, thank you, or duping that are obviously not intended. If Mojang didn't intend for iron farms to be a thing, they would have long patched it by now. And that, I think, comes back to what we were saying before, Swirl, about... And welcome in and thank you for your comment there, by the way. You have sometimes things that become unintended that they go, actually, going to go as a feature. And one of these things is actually, as an example of that, is sand and gravel. So they should be affected by gravity. You can find worlds that aren't until you update the blocks, then they all fall. Mojang could have very easily have patched that out, but they didn't. They turned around and said, actually, this is a feature. This is a trap. This is a sand trap. And what gives it away is you see those falling particles. And so they turned an unintended feature, an unintended into a feature. Now, it's probably to save them time. They didn't have to go and touch into the code, but, you know, it is what it is. So I think you get that sometimes is like with the iron farms, it's not an intended thing. Yes, they could have patched it out, but they haven't. And now it's a thing.
I'd like to go back real quick. Some of the comments that were made, basically, if it's your single player world, you know, you do you, it's your world, you play the way you want to. When you get to like an SMP or playing with a group, you've kind of have to have a majority agreement on how Minecraft should be played. Things that are allowed or not allowed, duping, I kind of want to segue into the next subject because Swirl brought it up.
Well, before you do, I want to touch on one thing that you can segue into it nicely, but Swirl's just gone there. But the particles were added later in terms of the falling gravel and that. Exactly right. They added the particles in after the fact. So that then turned that glitch into a feature. So they added it in. Right. So if I'm looking at this right, it was an unintended glitch that they weren't falling until they were updated. So they went, instead of fixing it, so to speak, they just went, well, we're turning it into a feature. So they added the particles at that point to make it a feature and to stand out to the player.
I've been seeing that a lot lately with a lot of their features that they do where it turns out to be glitches or bugs. And then it's like, we'll just turn it into the game instead of actually just getting rid of it. Because I feel like it gets to the point where people get used to it, where they go, okay, well, how can you live without it type of things? But that's a whole different and thingy for Mojang to decide, which I'd like to know why they would like just instead of just completely box it and scrap it, where they'd just be like, you know what, let's actually give the players what they want and have them actually have, well, cheerio, happy days.
I guess they have their vision for where they want the game to end up at some point. So I guess that would sort of be what it is.
There's something on that I want to bring up later as far as things we'd like to see in future Minecraft. The whole X-ray thing, pre-cam, which is basically the same thing. A lot of people are using that. And one of those things, those mods where, you know, if you're using it, it's kind of, you really can't, I mean, unless they're exposed, you really can't see the diamond ore like you can with a mod that's actually going to show X-ray and show things. I'd like to Swirl touched on it. I'd like to segue into Breaking Bedrock. Yes, I've done it. Do I think it's necessary? No. And we'll get into that, which is a whole separate glitch, a whole separate thing. Is a, how do I put this? A point of contention between the Trojan and I.
Becoming an ongoing gag now.
The reason for Breaking Bedrock. Now, do I think Bedrock breaking is necessary? No. And I'll explain why. It's a glitch. And there's a pretty reliable way to do it with TNT, a trapdoor. It's fairly easy. It used to be a lot harder to do. And in previous versions of Minecraft, you could do it with dragon eggs. I don't believe that's possible to do anymore. So people would make ender dragon farms just to get the eggs and use them in machines to break large areas of bedrock. But it's really, you can live without it, because on Java, you can get on the nether roof and be up there and build without ever having to break bedrock. Because, and you can go in, I'm not sure exactly where it is, there was a change in 1.15 that allowed synchronization of portals to the nether roof. They changed the way portals could be synchronized. Now, that was something that Mojang intended to be able to synchronize portals. And it's even in the patch notes, you can synchronize portals to the nether roof. Now, I feel that building on the nether roof, because it's an intended thing from, it's something that I left in, it's something that the technical community has embraced and used. Yeah, some farms are high output, low effort. You still there is some effort involved in doing it. And you don't have to break bedrock to be up there. So I'll just let you.
Oh, I've been waiting for this topic. Vent.
Go ahead and vent away, because this is a podcast subject that is one of the ones we've been planning for a while, because we both have such strong feelings against the nether roof. I believe we could both agree on breaking bedrock. That's something that's not is unnecessary, but we differ in opinion on the nether roof.
All right, so my thought, yes, breaking bedrock is unintended and should not be allowed. It should be unbreakable. I think being able to access the roof by throwing an ender pearl through a crack, basically, is an exploit and shouldn't be intended. I think
that's not the only way.
Okay, well, for argument's sake, that one,
right? Yeah, that's the most common.
They added in the ability to link portals on the roof, so you can have a portal on the roof. Now, I believe that was there so in case people get themselves stuck, they can get off the roof. Because how many times would you have had people accidentally get onto the roof by a bad throw of an ender pearl and go, oh poop, my world is now no good because I got no way to get back? I think that the reason they made that happen to fix that problem was allow people to build a portal on the roof so they could get off the roof. I assume we're now moving into, should we be doing things on the roof or not? Is that where we're headed?
I mean, yeah. I mean, to back up a little bit. I mean, I have to agree with you. That's a glitch, a bug, whatever. I'm sure it's on the tracker that there are situations where you throw an ender pearl where if you throw it in the wrong spot, even in the overworld, you start suffocating and you could die.
I did that on the live stream weekend. I was the first one to die on that whole 24-hour stretch, 20 hours in. Bad throw of an ender pearl and into a wall and dead. So, yeah, it's not a good one.
But the being on the nether roof is only a Java thing. You can get on the nether roof same way, basically, but you cannot build there. If I could get confirmation from Mojang, it would be so awesome.
Well, Aaron's asked a question.
I feel justified.
Aaron's asked a question here that I know that Master Swirl and Enzyme have made a comment. I'm just going to jump to Aaron's first, though. Is there anything that people do on the roof that couldn't be done under it? You tell me, what is the purpose of building farms on the roof?
Because, and I'm a fanboy of ENX04. A lot of it has to do with spawning mechanics. When you build on the nether roof, because you can build above the bedrock floor, you can change the way spawning works. The higher you go, depending on how you build the farm, will affect the rates. Yes, you can build under the roof. And I tried doing a gas farm on Enderrealm Season 1 because as a group we had decided building on the nether roof, no go. You know, early in Enderrealms, and at that point we decided we're not going to build on the nether roof. Now, what's required for building under the roof as far as a farm, say like a gas farm or a gold farm or anything like that, there's so much spawn proofing, you got to ask yourself, is it worth it? I mean, what's the trade-off?
Okay. So in short, is the purpose, is this a fair statement to make? Is the purpose of building a farm on the nether roof to make a farm more efficient?
Yes, efficiency.
Okay. Bear with me. Okay. So the point is to make a farm more efficient. Should breaking bedrock be allowed?
It's not needed. It's really not needed.
I know it's not needed, but hang on. Is breaking bedrock yay or nay, based on what you said previous?
There's two different subjects, though.
No, it's not. Your Honor, objection hearsay. We will come back. I will bring it all together, Your Honor. I'm just asking for a little bit of leeway. I will bring it together. Okay, so let me get this straight. So just to recap, so building the farms on the roof is to make them more efficient, yes?
Yes.
You should not be allowed to break bedrock, correct?
Correct.
Okay, therefore, as Master Swirl has said, and this is why I didn't say it before, I'm leaving it to now, and that's hired in. I think the bedrock thing is like this. It's like when you find in other games a gap in the map and go outside the map area. Clearly wrong. So is the intention of bedrock to form the boundaries of the playable world? If you're not allowed to break the bedrock, is it a fair comment to say that the bedrock is the intended limit of the world?
I think it was mentioned earlier in your chat that it wasn't intended. It would have been patched a long time ago.
Yes, but it also comes back to that comment that you agreed with as well earlier that said that it was an unintentional feature, and it was proved to be an unintended glitch, because it appears in Java and not Bedrock.
Right.
So if it's an intended thing that people can get up there and exploit, why don't they just introduce that to Bedrock version of the game?
Right. Well, there are people in the Bedrock community that, you know, they want parity.
It doesn't matter what people want, though. Mojang's not doing it. They're not doing it. So does that not imply, by all of this line that we've got to here, that if it was an intended feature and it was acting as intended, that it would be on Bedrock? That they would just make it happen on Bedrock?
Well, like Enzyme said, you've got two different dev teams, and they may have the same arguments that you and I are having now.
Yeah, true. But Minecraft are looking for parity, remember?
But they're dealing with two different communities. You have divided communities, Bedrock and Java, and you know, each of them think they are the true and proper version of Minecraft. Mm-hmm. It's a divided gap between those two sometimes, and it may be the same way in the dev teams. If you go changing things on Java to match Bedrock, then you will have I mean, you think you have communities in an uproar now because of changes? The technical community, I don't want to say that they're the Mojang. I think Mojang is trying to listen. They're trying to listen. For the longest time, they've tried to you know, listen to the communities, and you've got a huge technical community that if they made changes, and it goes back to like the NoBlock thing, you know, making changes. There was a group of technical players that said, "Hey, you know, this change is unnecessary." So
I think the argument that they don't want to upset the technical community is right to a degree. I think they will never. I think the reason they will not remove it from the game is because there's too many long-term worlds that would be impacted by them suddenly saying, "Sorry, the build limit is not. You can't basically. It's the build limit height on the two that stops the building. Like the Bedrock, you can get on Bedrock, you can get onto the Nether roof, but you can't build because the build height doesn't allow it. On Java, that's completely different. The thing is, though, right, in the start of this podcast, you actually said that duplicating for the cores, basically, to get more items is wrong. So by going into an area that's not intended to get to and then building in that area for a farm that generates more due to better efficiency by being outside of the normal intended playable area, how do you justify the two differences of stance between those two things?
Yeah, on that note, one noted glitch.
One thing I just want to make out, obviously both Miner and I are being animated in this discussion because our opinions are really counter on this one.
Mm-hmm.
But because we're getting animated, don't think we're actually fighting. We're just debating. We've done this 1,000 times. And I've been right 1,000 times and he's been wrong 1,000 times. So we're used to this. So don't think that we're getting into it. We're not. This is just us having fun.
Mojang disagrees with you, but that's beside the point.
But do they, Miner? Do they? As Swell said, the Java people know right.
I've got text proof that Mojang disagrees with you.
Oh, really? Really?
While we are on the Nether roof, one change that's coming down the pike technical community is worried about, but I think, again, Mojang's trying to find balance, is some of the farms you can build on the roof. One of them being a gold farm. They're going to change the way zombie pigment aggro, and that's something that is a it's a glitch.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the things that was went over in Skip the Tutorials video on bugs and glitches is when you aggro one zombie pigman, you're gaining XP from other zombie pigmen, even though you're not killing them. So they've talked about a change on the way that works. There's other ways to get XP. I don't know if they'll change that. I think you should have to kill the mob to get the XP. So in my opinion, that one's an overpowered XP farm. How does everybody feel about the gold farm? Because that's a change that's going to be coming if it hasn't already.
The a couple of comments here that I got. One was from Bearded Boss Alex, and hello in Alex. The large farms really. So that's sort of touching on what you're talking there with the gold farm, which can be done under the roof. However, doing it on top, so the digging and risk is so minimal. And then Vi's comment before was, if I could find it again, it would be fantastic. There it is. On the SMPs, it's easier to make a nether hub and travel between different places on the map. Of course, that could be done under the roof. It's just easier to do it that way. Yes, but I argue that's not an intended way of using that part of the world. Are we saying then that does it being easier justify doing it? Therefore, we could go back to saying, well, it's easier to duplicate diamonds, so I'm going to do that. It comes down to that fine line of where you are going to find it right or not. I don't know. Look, I've to be honest, I've loosened my stance on doing stuff on the roof. I have naturally, but I've still got that part of me that goes, this is not the intended way that the game is meant to be played. So that I'm a walking contradiction. One thing I wanted to say is that what Enzyme has said, when I think it was about me mentioning about one doing duplicating for more items and one, you know, what's the difference? He said, well, the difference is one's got more room. You can make more room in the Nether, just don't be so lazy to do it. So I actually disagree. For me personally, I don't think the argument he just said there, one's about getting more items, one's about more room, I don't agree with that. It's not about more room, it's about making the farm more efficient. That's why they do it. It's not...
Right.
You don't build a farm up there because you've got more room. You build a farm up there because it becomes more efficient, because you build the farm, exactly. and then you go 200 blocks up and the farm becomes more efficient. And yes, mm-hmm. on my tutorial channel, yes, I have Miner's Froglight farm, which requires you to be on the Nether ceiling and 200 blocks above it, and you're getting like, what was it, 10,000 Froglights an hour from it. So and that farm could be very easily built under the roof, but the rates drop.
Right.
It's not about getting on the roof for space, it's about getting on the roof for efficiency. And that's when it's about more items, and that's where I draw the parallel between that and duplication.
I mean, the farms, Nether roof farms, I don't think that that'll be something in Java you'll see go away.
No, you won't.
Now, they are making the way things spawn in the Nether. That's a future change. They talked about portal farms, which are fairly easy to build again, but they're going to change the way those work as well in a future update. So people will just have to find... They're trying to find balance without making it too overpowered. And you know, still please the technical community and the other communities that prefer not to go up there. Personally, as far as the Nether Hub, I saw Hermitcraft when it was first allowed, when they discovered that Mojang was going to change the way portals work, and you could link portals, you know, because it was in the patch notes. they decided to go on the Nether roof and kind of make a hub there. But in my opinion, that was very, very ugly, disorganized. I on the other hand, prefer a Nether hub that's under the roof. You can do a lot more with it. And what I've seen on Interrealms, if you haven't seen, you need to watch some of the videos, some of the live streams, because Season 3's Nether Hub is the best yet. And
that's from all three clans. Everyone's done a really good job.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I think with Hermitcraft, though, correct me if I'm wrong, that was in Season 6, I think. And that was because they also knew that the Nether update was coming, so they knew they were going to reset the entire Nether. Because I remember when the change came, they all had to go up on the roof and get off what they wanted to keep. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Well, and then Mumbo Jumbo had the button.
Yeah, the button.
I think that was the same time.
Yeah.
I'm glad you agree that I'm right.
I didn't say that. I said I'm softening my stance on allowing it. And obviously we had to for Season 3, so I had to soften my stance. But I still believe that it's making an exploit for the sake of more efficient farms. Therefore, it's an exploitable thing that will never leave the game, because there would be too much outcry that would be changing. But to me, it still doesn't make it. To me, it's like you're deliberately going outside of the set intended boundary of the game for the sake of exploiting a mechanic to get more materials than you could normally, which I compare to duplication at the very base level of it.
I the way I feel about it is the level of, yeah, it's more effort to spawn proof a large spawnable area under the roof. So I don't know, it's a toss up. Some of the farms are fairly easy to build, but then there's ones that are a little more difficult. It's going to be something that's debated on a long time.
Yeah, and look, you'll never get to the end of it. And, you know, I think what I found was interesting was that the one part of this discussion here, you'll have to watch the VOD back. I actually threw my arms up in like a celebration. I felt like I sort of had you backed into a corner a little bit. One point I was going, I didn't expect that to happen. But Alex said, for me, it's like creating a fourth dimension. And if it's strictly for travel, awesome. That's the only thing I see it good for. it's a non-stop debate for me. Exactly. It is a non-stop. And again, it comes back to everything that we've talked about. And usually this happens with our back and forth, isn't it, Minor? We get to the end of it and you say, look, at the end of the day, you do you. You play Minecraft how you want to play Minecraft. Where the final bit for us is actually talking about it and having these conversations. Because it's a good conversation to have. It's a fun conversation. And, you know, Minor and I have been chomping at the bits ever since Minecraft Lab started and Keegan started up Indie Realms podcast. We've been, this one has been on our to talk about list since day one. And I don't even know why we haven't done it yet, but I'm glad we finally got there.
I'm glad we decided to do these live recordings every so often because it gets the community involved. It gets you guys involved and we get, you know, a difference of opinion. You know, it's just not you and I arguing. we can get more people to side with us. With me.
Oh, clearly they were with me tonight. No, we're not going to divide the community like that. Enzyme's just saying, but it comes to something else. So if you want easy playing creative mode, I don't think it's about ease. Well, the building a nether hub up there is about making it easier. Or building a farm up there because you've just got more room is making it easier. I don't know whether the whole thing is about making it easier. The whole thing about building up there is making it the farms more efficient. Now, will the farms work under the roof? Yes, they would. And, you know, the gold farms work under the roof. Green and Iscal have proved that, but they're not, and I think Cub has as well, they're not as efficient though. And that's what it's about, is getting, for me, it's about accessing an area, and I've said this five times, it's about accessing an area beyond the intended world limit for the point of exploiting that area to make your farms more efficient. That's what it's all about. I don't like nether hubs on the ceiling, only because they don't look any. Yes, and you can argue or you can build stuff on there, but you lose the ambience, you lose the atmosphere. That's my take on it. Cricket really said I make sense, so therefore I win this debate. Thank you and good night. Elaney said, the main issue for me isn't even if you should not be able to do it. It's more about Microsoft fixing the parity issues between Java and Bedrock, as you can't do it in Bedrock. And that's sort of something we sort of touched on a bit earlier. Minor brought up, well, you know, you can do it in Java, so giddy up. And it's like, well, I think it shows, based on the conversation we had about quasi-connectivity, I think it shows that if it was meant to be in one, it would be in the other. And the fact that they haven't allowed it on Bedrock says to me that it's not intended. They just can't backtrack on 11 years of worlds now to say, no, you can't do it on Java, because you would break so many people's worlds and long-term worlds. So I don't think you'll ever get that parity unless they turn around. If they ever turn around and say, Bedrock can now build on the nether roof, I will completely change camp and go over to Miner's side and say, we're all good. But while you've got that very clear, no, you can't do it on Bedrock, to me, that says it's not an intended feature of the game to be allowed to build on Bedrock, and that's why I stand my ground there. Yes, I've softened my stance for the sake of If it was intended, it would be on Bedrock, and it's not on Bedrock. So that alone tells me, conversation over.
Really quick, something that Bearded Boss Alex said, and I want to touch on this, just really quickly. There's no nether roof on the job site. Well, of course not. The reason for the nether roof from, let's look at this as from a miner's perspective, in case you didn't know, had to mention that.
I didn't realize that.
When mining first started, you had because of the technology and things, you only had, certain things. To drill a hole, the TNT, you had to use a chisel and a hammer. And that's how you drilled a hole. It's very dangerous to do it that way, because the guy holding the chisel into the wall, he took the risk of getting his hands hit from the guy swinging the hammer. As time went on, mining got more technology. Now we have things, drills. They've found ways to automate it and make it more efficient. In Minecraft, the technical community has found ways to make it more efficient. Yeah, there are certain things that they're obviously cheaty, but as it's been said in chat, it's really about efficiency. If you're trying to, if you're in your single player world, you're playing your way. Duplicate, do whatever you want. If you're playing with a group, it's got to be decided on by the group. if you build a farm on the roof, say for a gas farm, and you're doing it to supply the server. So you need tons and tons of gunpowder or whatnot, gold. So you're supplying a server with these items, or trying to make diamonds or whatever. So it's all about efficiency.
And you know what? You'll never get to the bottom of this one. You know, like there's still opinions being thrown around here in my chat there. So like Cricket said, they could easily then add it to Bedrock. Exactly. And that was my point. And the fact that they haven't says to me that it's not what they want to have happen. But they're too far down the road of changing it the other way. So they run with both. And to be honest, it's probably not even on their radar to even look at that. It's just not on their radar. They've got bigger fish to fry. They don't really care about those sort of things. The only thing I'll say on Cricket's comment there, she says at the end, if you have to cheat mod to get there, then I'd say it's against the game, against the rules. I would actually argue it is technically cheating to try and get into that area, because you need to exploit glitches to get up there, which is the whole point of this conversation, exploits and glitches. So ultimately, I don't care. Like, obviously, season one, season two, we didn't have the access to the nether roof on Interarms. This season, we do. And I live with it. I'm okay with it. And I said, I've softened my stance on it because, you know, you can get there, go for it. And this season, with the way we've got set up with the clans, well, we had to have a gold farm to balance out the other powerful farms that the other two clans had. So Caves had to have something that balanced it out. And it only made sense to put the roof farm up there, the gold farm. So we opened it up. So I got no problem with that. But, you know, look, the end of the day, it comes down to, as Ree has been said about 55,000 times, it's down to that individual person and their feelings on the matter. In my personal single-player world, if I was to ever do one, I would not go up there. I wouldn't do it, because that's my choice, and that's how I like to play the game. I see the bedrock is what they intend not to cross. Go it. If you want to go in there, so be it. And mine is exactly right. You know, if you have a server and the server rules say you don't go up on the roof, or, you know, the only farms allowed up there are server-controlled farms, and that's so, you know, we've got enough to supply the 50 people on the server. Abide by those rules. That's what it comes down to. The world you play on, abide by the rules of that world. And Eleni just said that it would be different if you get up through normal means, but you have to glitch yourself through one way or another, which shows you're not really supposed to be there. So, but yeah, but again, and as Cricket said before, you know, it's great we can have these conversations. And that's what I've said. Well, both of us have said a couple of times, because we knew we would be, Minor and I, we're not butting heads. We are just having a conversation. We've done this 1,000 times, this conversation. And we're animated for the sake of entertainment and podcast.
Right. Well, I'm glad. I'm really glad we got you guys in chat involved on this one.
Yeah, because... and it clearly showed I was right.
As Ree would say, you have fun with that. Before we wrap this up, let's bring it back to the lighter side of things. Just real quickly, you know, for the next couple minutes, like to talk about things we'd like to see change in Minecraft.
Yep.
In particular, I just saw a video, was it yesterday, of Azuma Void put out, and something that the community has been talking about is 1.20 not being an end update or another dimension, and, you know, an aether dimension, or, you know, whole new, it's just have a quality of life update. He put out a video saying that it could be an inventory update, that inventory management is something that's sorely needed in Minecraft. And you know, we could go back to, if you've watched the video, a lot of things could be considered cheaty, overpowered. They have mods for these things, some client-side, some that may be server-side, that help with inventory. I think one of them I'm already using, but an inventory update is something that I think is needed in a future Minecraft update.
I think you can bet your bottom dollar, you could even bet the house on it, that there will be an update to the inventory. And the minute every single hermit started mentioning it in every single video, you know they're being spoken to by the people at Mojang to get their thoughts on it. The Hermits are very clearly being used to lay the groundwork for people to expect it. Will it be the whole update? I still maintain probably not, but I think it'll be a very major part of it, and it right. is sorely needed. Like, when you're working on a decent sized build, now obviously we don't build on the size of the Hermits, but for those that were watching my last two streams when I was attempting to do that villager house, my inventory was a mess just on a small build like that size, because you need different blocks here, different blocks there. And when you're even making a build like I was in those two streams, just off the top of my head with no planning, you might have blocks in your inventory that you don't even think you're going to need, because you just want to try them in the thing, and your inventory becomes a mess. So it definitely needs something. And I haven't watched Azuma's video yet, but it is on my watch later list. But that is definitely one thing I would like to see fixed is inventory, because it is diabolical. Even just more space in your inventory, I'd be happy with that at this point.
Right. And just the way things are handled. A lot of points that Azuma brought out were valid points and are easily implemented. And I don't expect that it'll be. I mean, there's other quality of life things that could be done, but kind of like with the village and pillage update. Villager trading is something that they'd wanted to change the way it works. People could argue that it's a little bit overpowered now, but it wasn't just about changing the way villager trading works, but you also had pillagers. So maybe it'll be inventory and, you know, something else, biome updates or whatnot. But I think we could do with, you know, some kind of quality of life improvements in Minecraft.
Cricket said, more space, Troge. Have you used shulkers? Yes, but have you used shulkers when you're doing a big build like this one? You know, having to stop, put a shulker down, find the next stack of blocks that you need that you didn't have in your inventory, pick up your shulker and move on. It takes so much time. So much time. Yeah. So what I mean by more space is more accessible inventory space that doesn't require me to put a block down to open the block, get stuff out of that block, and then pick that block back up. That's what I sort of meant. Elaney just throws out stuff she doesn't need. Yeah, but when I'm doing a creative build in survival, I don't know what I need and what I don't. That's my problem. But that also leads on to inventory sorting. So obviously people know I play better Minecraft, and it's so nice that when you have just, you've been on a big massive, like an end bust or something like that, and your inventory is a mess, and you got to go put stuff away later, there's a little circle in the top right hand corner, you just click that and it sorts your inventory into, I think it's alphabetical, and it puts all the stuff together, and it's just like, that would be chef's kiss.
Yeah, and getting into that, something that I'd like to see Mojang do is, and I mentioned this before, is maybe take the next update or future update and work with the modding community. You can find, you know, just like for phones, there's an app for that. There's a mod for just about anything. All these things that Azuma talked about in his video, the modding community has come up with. You know, they're not just things that are speculation. They're things that are actually usable. So my feeling is that maybe Mojang should work with the modding community, because especially during COVID and whatnot, they were stretched thin, and you know, and it was, development was a little bit harder, but if they had a team to help them work on these quality of life things, it would it'd make it easier on them, and I think more could be put in vanilla Minecraft if they would do that. I know there's kind of, there are probably, I don't know, you'd have to have different legal things involved with the people working in those groups, but I think getting the community involved, because not to get into any details about this latest update, I get the feeling that the community is feeling neglected or left out or not listened to. So if they were to do something along those lines where they felt like the community felt like they were more involved in development, it would be a good thing.
They're definitely on a, taken a hit. Like, on the fact that they called 119 the mild update and people disappointed with it, which I think that very unjustly saying it was a bad update. I think badly named, but I think it was a good update. And then on top of that, you've got what we talked about at the very beginning and we don't want to get back into. Yeah, the community and that, it's not in a good place at this point. So it's going to be interesting to see how that bounces back. And that's why I sort of don't think you're going to see just an exclusive quality of life update, because I think I said in, I don't know, one of the previous podcasts, maybe even been the last live one, I can't remember. Minecraft survives and continues to survive on the hype it builds up for the next new thing. And they hope the next new thing brings new people in or brings people back. Do you think Minecraft 1.20 inventory update, do you think that's going to get new people to try the game? I don't think so. So I don't think you're going to have an exclusive one of that, but I think inventory, I think it will be a major part of it.
Something real quick, I see Cricket Brit.
Exactly, Elaine. Yep.
She commented on, she can hold 64 blocks of pure obsidian, but only 16 eggs. And something that I've wanted, and this has actually been mentioned in the combat update, is stacking of potions. There are certain things that are unstackables that should stack. And now that was something that was talked about in the combat update, which is still in the works. That's a whole different development team doing that. But they did mention that they wanted to have the ability to stack. Now, only up to 16 again, but I think that would be helpful as well.
Mm. Oh, 100%. Considering only some of these potions last for a minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, you're using a whole potion, a whole slot on 3 minutes of game time, potentially. Elaney said, there's a couple of really good points here. Elaney said, I don't think people always realize the amount of work that goes into stuff just because there's nothing big or fancy. 100%. And then Aaron has said, it was a fine update for how it was quickly pulled together, but it's certainly disappointing to get the overpromising and dismissal. And I think, and we touched on that previously in a previous podcast, that was the problem with it, is that they overpromised and then they couldn't deliver it. And so people are disappointed they didn't get their Fireflies and they didn't get their Birch Forest update. Frankly, I don't care. If you compare this to Buzzy Bee's update, this is a massive update. You know, and my thought is really 1.18 part 1 and 2 and 1.19 are really, for me, one and the same update. That's my thought.
Right. Is there, just real quickly in chat, I've talked about a couple of things that I'd like to see in Minecraft. Is there anything that we haven't discussed that you'd like to see in vanilla Minecraft?
While chat are digesting that, the only other one that I would steal from better Minecraft is in that one, when you die, there's a mod there that all your stuff goes into a grave. Now, yes, I'm against graves, but not the way this mod actually implements it. This mod implements it that you've still got that 5 minute countdown to get to your stuff. Otherwise it will go bye bye. But what I like about it is when you go up to it and you right click on it, it puts your inventory back exactly how you had it. Now, the reason I like that is if you are in part of the Ocean Clan, you on Interrealms this season, you live under the constant fear of when do I die next, because you never know when Naku and her iron fish is out, and you can be miles away in your head working on a build, and next minute you've exploded into 1,000 bits. And the amount of times I've had to reset my inventory this season alone probably is more already than what it has been in season 1 and season 2. And I think being able just to go, oh, goodness, particularly when you've got a full inventory, just being able to go up to your grave and go and put it back would be fantastic.
Aaron says, like to see more food variety and crops because that's what they like doing.
That's fair.
Yeah, I mean, in... Again, in mods, you see that. That's why I feel that Minecraft or Mojang needs to look at the modding community and what they're able to accomplish, and maybe try to implement some of those things.
Yeah, you definitely get that in the better Minecraft is a mod pack. So you've got things like I can't think of what they are off the top of my head, but there are mods that put more things like into more. Fruitful harvest or something. So you can get those through mods. But yeah, more food's probably not a bad option.
Okay, Master Swirl. I almost forgot to mention this. I mean, I did a video on it. Concrete stairs, slabs, and walls is something that's been needed for more variants, and I think that will help builders tremendously.
The amount of time, particularly in this season when I'm using concrete more than I ever have before, the fact that I don't have slabs and stairs and concrete infuriates me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think it would... The things that people build will be even more... the things you see from builders will just... it'll open so much to have more variety of stairs, slabs. It'll provide more texture.
Oh, 100. And the thing that I agree with Master Swell, kangaroos. We want some Australian animals in Minecraft. That would be awesome. Okay. Yeah.
I have no problem with that.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
That about wraps it up for Minecraft Lab Live, where we talked about bugs, glitches, and what we'd like to see in future updates of Minecraft. We've had awesome discussions here with the community, and this could go on forever. The debate on some of these things could go on forever. You know, eventually Troj will come around. He'll come around. I have faith. So
to quote Reimagined, you have fun with that.
Thank you once again for having us here on this live stream. Thank you for joining in. It's been awesome. And this will be a regular thing.